you're going to be more and more like his son, Jesus Christ. So why don't get, go ahead. Let's start off with the word of prayer. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this time. Father, I ask that you will just take over. Let your Holy Spirit's presence just fill this entire place. And as we truly know, Lord, your holy presence is here. Your angels are all around us. We know we truly are standing on holy ground. And we know, Father, it's your presence that we need. It's your presence that we long for. And I pray, Lord, as your word is spoken, we're going to be so filled, Lord, with your wisdom, with your love, with your peace, with your joy. Father, we give this time all unto you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray all of these things. And everyone says, amen, amen, amen. Praise God. All right. Well, you know, we're continuing a sermon series called The Christian Atheist. And we are on characteristic 7, which is entitled Never Forgive. Oh, my goodness. Sounds like a heavy topic. Never forgive. You know, once again, a Christian atheist is defined as someone who calls himself a Christian but has very little or no evidence of God actually being present in his or her life. So with this next characteristic, this person knows what the scripture says, but guess what? He doesn't do it. And in this case, he knows he must forgive others, but he chooses not to do what God tells him to do. Everyone say, uh-oh. Oh, yeah. If you don't choose to do what God tells you to do, you're going to be in trouble, because spiritually, you know the devil, he's going to hit you hard. And we know we got to say, Lord, I'm going to do what your word tells me to do. First of all, you guys all know, right? My brother Walton is currently a pastor in North Carolina. And, you know, he's been a pastor for more than 25 years. And he's counseled many people. And, you know, and he's been from church to church to church. And he's pastored so many churches where people, you know, they're hurting. They need the word of God. And my brother had pastored them and counseled them. And the one thing my brother told me is that the biggest struggle that most people have, guess what it is? It's unforgiveness. And sometimes they hold on to the past. They hold on to the very things that's causing them misery. And you know, both he and I, we hear this statement repeated many of times by Christians and non-Christians alike. Guess what it is? I'll never forgive that person because he hurt me so bad. Have you ever said that? I'm sure you have. I know I have. He's like, man, I don't know if I can ever forgive. I just don't know. It could be a classmate. It could be a coworker, a family member, or a friend. You know, someone who you thought was a loved one, and somehow this person really hurt you. And it's kind of understandable, right, for the unbeliever to feel this way, because basically, you know what? This is what the world teaches. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. And sometimes I'm going to hurt you even more. And, you know, that's what the world will say. But for the Christian who says, I'll never forgive a certain person, right? Every pastor that hears this, I mean, we shake a little bit, right? We jump on the bandwagon and we recite this same verse that is found in Matthew chapter 6. And it's quoted by Jesus himself. Look at that scripture there, Matthew 6, 14 to 15. Read it with me. Ready? Go. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you what? Refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And we got to tell the person, you have to forgive because Jesus says so. If you don't forgive, guess what? Our Father in heaven will not forgive you of your sins. And as we know, the scripture tells us if we're not forgiven by God of our sins, you know, we're not under God's kingdom authority. So we may be still under the authority of darkness, because you can say you're a Christian and you're not going to lose your salvation. But the very fact is, you know, can you just imagine how displeased our Father God is and how the Holy Spirit is grieving because he wants you to forgive. And the very fact is, we got to make that choice. Are we going to forgive or not? Because he tells us if we don't forgive, he will also not forgive us. But the key word there is refuse. You refuse to forgive. It means we blatantly choose not to obey what the word of God tells us to do. And when we do that, you know what's going to happen? The power and the presence of God in our lives will be greatly diminished. Like I said, yeah, you can realize and understand that God loves you. He will never stop loving you. And yeah, you still will be saved. But the very fact is, God wants you to turn your heart to say, Lord, I know this is what you want me to do, so I'm going to do it. So it's important to really identify the characteristics of a person who is heading on that path of saying, you know what, I'm never going to forgive. Look at that question there. It says, what are the characteristics of a Christian atheist who is unwilling to forgive another person? Well, look at number one. It says they carry a what? A hatred in their heart towards the other person. And can a Christian carry hatred? Oh, yeah. Because if you just, you know, even think about the very fact that I'm not going to forgive, I'm just going to not allow my love to come forth for this person, guess what? Hatred will kind of start to seep in. And look what John says in 1 John 2, 9 through 11. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. If anyone claims I am living in the light but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in what? Darkness. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. So, you know, John, he's talking to other believers here. He's talking to other Christians who are holding on to hate. And as much as love can shine forth God's light, right? Hate can bring forth great darkness in a believer's life to the point where they're blinded. They're blinded to see what is actually of God and what is not of God. You know, many years ago, while on a visit to England, this wealthy Chinese businessman was fascinated by this really powerful microscope. And looking through its lens to study crystals and the petals of flowers, he was amazed of their beauty and their great detail as he puts it under the microscope. So he decided to purchase one of these devices and take it back to China. He thoroughly enjoyed using it until one day. You know what he did? He examined some rice he was planning to eat for dinner. Okay, remember, it's a really powerful microscope. And much to his dismay, he discovered that there were tiny living creatures. I know I don't want to talk about this because we eat rice too, right? But there are tiny living creatures that were crawling in it. And since he was especially fond of rice, this staple food in his daily diet, he wondered, what should I do now? Because I can see there's creatures in my rice. So he finally concluded the only way to get out of his dilemma, you know what he had to do? He had to destroy the instrument that caused him to discover this distasteful fact. So you know what he did? He smashed the microscope to pieces. Can you imagine? He spent a lot of money on it, but he said, I got to get rid of this. And you may say, how foolish is this? But you know what? How many people do the same thing with the Word of God? Because, yeah, they know they should forgive. They know they have to do what God is asking them to do, but they reject it, right? And they get rid of it because it reveals their evil nature. And when a believer has hatred in his heart, he rejects the Word of God. Because the Word of God, when you follow it, you're going to have a blessed life. It's up to you, though. Because you got to understand, the Word of God is mighty and powerful, but it only becomes mighty and powerful when you choose to do what it says. Amen? Then and only then will you experience the abundant life that God has promised. I want you to look what it says here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. Read it with me. Ready? Go. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a what? Is a liar. For we don't love people we can see. How can we love God whom we cannot see? And you know what? They are not only lying to themselves, but they're lying to others when he says, but I love God. And it's very clear. The scripture tells us here in 1 John, if you say that you hate your brother, the love of God is not in you. And guess what? You're also lying to God. You're telling him, I love you. But God says, wait a minute. Do you love your brethren? Because if you don't, you don't love me. I mean, this is what the scripture tells us. And it must be dealt with immediately. Because if we kind of just hang on to it, guess what? It doesn't stay it seems the way it is. It tends to grow. And the devil will try to come in and he'll start to destroy everything that is valuable in your life. As this hatred starts to grow, I mean, just like cancer, it grows, right? To the point where it's destroying one relationship after the other. I want you to look what it says here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really what? A murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. Boy, this is a heavy, heavy subject matter. And it tells us, right, you're a murderer at heart because guess what? You're murdering your relationships with others and you're murdering the love of Christ that is in you. That's what you're doing. And the devil will help you to murder your spiritual relationship with God and even your loving relationships with your loved one. And guess what? He will help you to increase the hatred that's in your heart more and more and more. You know, on February 9, 1960, you guys heard of Adolf Coors? Well, he's the founder of Coors Beer, right? He's Adolf Coors III, okay? And he's the millionaire head of the Coors Company, and he was kidnapped, and he was held for ransom. And 7 months later, his body was found on a remote hillside, and he had been shot to death. And so Adolf Coors IV, right, that's his son, was only 15 years old at the time. And he lost not only his father, but he lost his best friend. And for years, Adolf Coors IV hated Joseph Corbett. He was the man who was sentenced to life for slaying his father, Adolf Coors III. And in 1975, almost 15 years later, you know what happened to Adolf Coors IV? He found faith in Jesus Christ. He became a Christian. Yet his hatred for Corbett, the murderer of his dad, still consumed him. He couldn't fully let it go. And Adolf Coors knew he needed to forgive Corbett as Jesus Christ, his Savior, had forgiven him. So you know what he did? He visited the maximum security unit of Colorado's Cannon City Penitentiary to talk to Joseph Corbett. Would you do that? You know? And you know what? Corbett refused to see him. So Coors did? He left Corbett a Bible with the following inscription. This is what he wrote in the Bible. He says, "I'm here to see you today, and I'm sorry that we couldn't meet. As a Christian, I'm summoned by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to forgive." And he says, "I do forgive you, and I ask you to forgive me for the hatred I've held in my heart for you." Wow. And later, of course, he confessed, "I have a love for that man that only Jesus Christ could have put in my heart." I gotta tell you, you know, sometimes people say, "Oh, I can never do that. Never. It's too hard." Well, you realize the love of Christ is in you. And in this case, Mr. Coors, he knew it was the love of Christ that needed to love this man. So this man could know that, you know what, there's a God that also loves him. Amen? It's a choice we need to make. And we got to realize, we got to get rid of that killing knife that Satan has placed in our minds and hearts. Right? Because, yeah, he'll put that in our minds and hearts to tell us, you got to just destroy that relationship. Just don't care about that other person already. He hurt you too much. You know, but we know we got to replace it with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen? You do not let that killing knife destroy all your relationships, because if the devil wanted to have his way, yeah, you wouldn't have any more loving relationships in your life. That's what the devil wants. He wants you miserable. He doesn't want you to feel love from others and from God. Don't let the devil trick you into letting all your relationships, especially your blessed relationships, all fade away. Choose to love with the love of God. Amen? I want you to look at point number two. It says here, they have anger towards another person that is steadily growing into what? To bitterness. So is there a difference between anger and bitterness? Well, you know, often it starts off with an anger that is superficial, okay? Because sometimes people can say, you know, I didn't like what he did, you know? And you know, just kind of like in your mind, and it's real superficial. But over time, as the anger starts to get more and more intense, because the more you think about it, sometimes the anger just gets more and more big, right? And it becomes difficult to handle. And suddenly, you have what is called bitterness, which has a tight grip on the person's heart and soul. You know, there's this Scottish theologian. His name is Eadie. And he says that pikria, which is Greek for bitterness, this is what he says. He says, it's a figurative term denoting that fretted and irritable state of mind that keeps a man in constant animosity or hatred, that inclines him to harsh and uncharitable opinions of men and things, that makes him sour, crabbed, and repulsive in his general demeanor, that brings a scowl over his face and infuses venom into the words of his tongue. Wow, that's a pretty intense definition there. But that's what bitterness is all about. I want you to look what it says here in Ephesians 4, 24 to 27. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a what? A foothold to the devil. He will take whatever anger that you may have in your mind, in your heart, and he's going to try to blow it up. He's going to try to make it such a big deal that you're going to start feeling negative feelings towards someone. And it has been said, no matter how long you nurse a grudge, it won't get better. Because what do you do when you nurse a grudge, right? You take care of it. You protect it. You justify the resentment that you have towards another person, right? You say, no, this is my baby. You know, come on, I have the right to feel anger, to feel, you know, all this grief towards this person. And I'm going to tell you, you know the devil, he's a good babysitter of your bitterness. Yeah, he's going to say, yeah, you should feel like this. Yeah, don't let that person get away. You don't feel more anger towards this person. And that's what the devil loves to do. We got to understand this. This is reality. The devil is always working against us. But you know, think about the oyster. You know, the oyster is pretty cool. It takes just one grain of sand. Did you know that? And it turns it into a beautiful pearl. Just taking one grain of sand, he can make a beautiful pearl. And too often, we're just the opposite. We take pearls, and guess what we do? We turn them into grains of sand. Oh, think about that. Something that God has given us so valuable. He could have given us such a wonderful spouse, children, whatever it may be, friends. And guess what? We get sometimes easily offended. And suddenly, our relationships are destroyed. And we wonder, what happened? I didn't want this relationship to end. And guess what? The devil's at work. He's working your mind, he's working your heart, trying to get you to that point where you want to just end that relationship with this person. That's what the devil will do. And the problem is, sometimes we choose not to use the love of God that is in us. Instead, we listen to the enemy, and suddenly, one by one, all of our relationships start to kind of like fade away. We're wondering, what happened? Wait a minute, I really like that person. Why is it that this person hates me now? You ever had situations like that? Come on, be honest. I'm sure you have, right? Where you're wondering, hey, what happened? What did I say? What did he say that got me so upset? And we realize that sometimes, yeah, we're just too sensitive. And I want you to look what it says here in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 6. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps what? No record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It keeps no record of wrongs. And sometimes people, they can tell you, you remember what you did 2 years and 5 months ago and 3 days? You said something to me that really hurt me. And the person's like, I don't remember anything. I said that. And we know that that's why when we keep records of wrongs, that's what's going to happen. It's going to make us to the point where we become so sensitive to anything what people may be saying to us. It could be a compliment, and we take it as an insult. Come on. Isn't that the truth? And you know, I'm going to tell you, it's the devil at work. Don't let the devil fool you. Because like I said earlier, the scriptures clearly tell us he's out to destroy all of our relationships, especially the ones that God had started, the ones that God wants us to be blessed with. Don't let the devil do it. You know, I got to tell you about this situation. One day, right, there are two monks. They were walking through the countryside, and they were on their way to another village to help bring in the crops. And as they walked, they came upon this old woman that was sitting at the edge of a river. And she was upset because there was no bridge, and she could not get across on her own. So the first monk kindly offered, and he said to her, "We will carry you across if you would like us to." And this woman was, you know, was so happy. She was so grateful. She said, "Thank you." And she accepted their help. So the two men joined hands, right, and lifted her between them and carried her across the river. So when they got to the other side, they set her down, and she went on her way. And after they had walked another mile or so, right, the second monk began to complain. "Hey, look at my clothes," he said. "They're filthy from carrying that woman across the river. And my back, it still hurts from lifting her. I can feel it getting stiff." And the first monk, he just kind of smiled, right, and nodded his head. And a few more miles up the road, the second monk griped again. "Oh, my back is hurting me so badly, and it's all because we had to carry that silly woman across the river. I cannot go any farther because of the pain." So the first monk looked down at his partner, now lying on the ground. He's moaning and he's groaning. And he asked him this question. "I just want to ask you this question. How have you wondered why I'm not complaining?" He asked him. And he says, "Your back hurts because you're still carrying that woman. But I set her down 5 miles ago." What can we learn from this? You know, this is what many of us are like in dealing with our loved ones, with our families and our friends, because we are that second monk who cannot let go. Think about that. You know, we're just so focused on what that person did to us. And it's just like that pain that person caused us in the past. You know, guess what? It's just like a club over their heads. You know, we remind them every now and then, "You remember what you did to me? You hurt me, you know." And the person, "Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And still, okay. Guess what? Later on, "You still remember what you did to me?" And we keep going back over and over. We keep a record of what? Wrong. Of wrongs. And guess what? God is trying to restore the relationship between you and this person. But because you're keeping a record of wrongs, it won't heal. I'm going to tell you, it won't heal when you keep a record of wrongs. And God may be saying to you right now, or saying to me, "Time to let go. Time to let my love in, because, you know, this is not going to do you any good. It's going to cause you more grief. It's going to cause you great suffering." Amen? And we got to say, "Lord, it's all yours," right? Because sometimes we want to feel like we're getting the upper hand. Right? We're the one that is above this person. And God says, "No, humble yourself. Let it go." Amen? I want you to look what it says in Ephesians 4, 31 to 32. Look what Paul says we need to do. Read it with me. Ready? Go. "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." Did you know bitterness has been medically linked to glandular problems, high blood pressure, cardiac disorders, ulcers, and you know what? Even insanity. Yeah, it can drive you insane when you have bitterness. You know, one leading psychiatrist, this is what he wrote. He says, 90% of all people in insane asylums could be released immediately if they would learn how to forgive or how to be forgiven. Wow, interesting, yeah? They could be instantly released if somehow they were convinced that, you know what, I'm going to forgive. Wow. And this is what one psychiatrist says. You know, this is an article from the Gospel Herald. You know, it says here, there was a man whose health was really good. He was sturdy and he was strong. His heart, action, and blood pressure were fine. Then his father died. He got into a prolonged legal dispute with his sister about the father's will. The case went to court and the sister won. From that day on, the man could think of nothing more than the lawsuit and his sister. He talked about it and he thought about it and he filled himself with it. And it became an obsession. And each day he grew to hate his sister more and more. Then he began to have difficulty with his heart and his blood pressure. And next his kidneys started to bother him. Before many months, complications killed him. Whew. And it seemed obvious that he died from bodily injuries brought on by powerful emotion. And guess what? It's believed that this man killed himself. Death by what? Bitterness. Bitterness can do this. It's going to mess up your health. And sooner than you know it, you're going to be feeling like you're going crazy, right? Because we let the bitterness keep on running in our minds and in our hearts. And the Bible says, Apostle Paul says, get rid of it. Don't hold on to it anymore. Give it over to the Lord so that you can be set free. Amen? That you can let all this anguish and this misery just be gone once and for all. You know, Dr. Jim Moore, he's pastor of St. Luke's United Methodist Church in Houston, and he wrote a book entitled, You Can Grow Bitter or You Can Grow Better. Which one? Bitter or better? And he writes that he got the idea from the title from a young woman who once came to him in the most tragic time in her life. And this is what he writes. He says, she had tears in her eyes and her knuckles were white as she twisted a handkerchief. She had just received word that her 26-year-old husband had been killed in a farming accident, leaving her alone with three preschool-age children. One moment he was alive and vibrant, the next moment he was gone. And she says, I don't know how I'm going to be able to get along without him, she sobbed. But this is what she says. But I know one thing. I can either get bitter or I can get better. Because it's so easy to get bitter towards God when things don't go your way. And get bitter towards others because you can say, you never helped me. You wasn't there for me. And you know what? That bitterness can just grow. I mean, so quickly and so, I mean, big in such a short period of time. If we do not be careful, the devil, he's going to have his way. And we've got to recognize that if the bitterness is starting to settle in into our minds, we got to say in Jesus' name, devil, I'm not going to let you have your way. I'm going to let the peace of God, the joy of the Lord be my strength. And one way to get rid of this bitterness, you know what? The secret is, it's actually not a secret. It's in the Word of God. You got to have a grateful heart because no matter what your situation is, you got to say, Lord, I thank you. I know, Lord, you're with me. I want you to look what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 to 18. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Never stop praying. Be thankful. What? In all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. When we talk about all circumstances, is it just the good ones? No. The bad ones too. And no matter what. Can you be thankful that you lost your job? You know, can you be thankful that, you know, maybe a relationship isn't going the way you want it? Of Well, you know, it's hard, you may say, but you thank God that he's with you. Thank God that he's giving you the wisdom that you need to make right decisions. Thank God that you know, hey, you know it could be a lot worse, right? But it isn't. You know God, his hand is upon you. His hand is upon the situation. If you just simply give it over to God, amen? Thank him for it. I'm going to tell you, gratefulness is a bitterness killer. Seriously. You find that you're getting bitter towards someone or you get maybe even towards God. Just start thanking him and see what happens. I'm going to tell you, I mean, really express it from your heart. Thank you, Lord, that you're with me. Thank you, Lord, that your love never leaves me. And just see how this bitterness will just go out the door. It will go out the window and not come back. Amen? I want you to look at point number three now. It says there, they eventually start to think of ways to seek what? Revenge. And remember, you know, revenge is something that Christians should never have. You know, we shouldn't even think about it, because when a Christian believer is thinking of ways to get revenge on another person, you know what? This is usually an indicator that the devil has taken this person, you know, this person's mind and heart to a place that is far, far away from God. Because usually, as Christians, we should not be thinking about revenge. And then suddenly you start thinking, okay, what can I do to this person to really hurt them? I'm going to tell you, the devil has been playing with your mind. If you're already there, you still can stop it. Turn around and say, Lord, forgive me for allowing my mind and heart to come this far. Will you help me to choose your love? And because here's the thing, when you start thinking of these negative thoughts enough, right? You can keep thinking of them over and over. Eventually, what will they become? Action. Sooner than you know it, you may be doing something that is evil and you may not even realize it. Seriously. Because it's been played over and over in your mind. And suddenly you're doing something, you're saying something that is hurting another person. So we got to stop it in its tracks. Amen? And say, Lord, I know this is not pleasing to you, so I'm going to stop it in Jesus' name. I want you to look what it says here in Romans 12, verse 19. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Dear friends, what did it say there? Never. Everyone say never. Never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. And that's the thing. It says never. Because, you know, you can say, I'll never forgive. That's not good. That's not what God wants to hear. God wants to hear from you. I'll never take revenge against anyone, because that's what the Bible says. That we are to not allow our minds to get to that point where we're starting to think of things that we know are not of God. Because usually at this point of wanting revenge, hatred and bitterness is already deeply rooted in the person's heart. And whether you're a Christian or not, guess what? You know what's going to happen? You're going to be on constant attack mode. You know, people say a little bit, this may be just joking. You said what to me? How dare you? You know, it's like a bulldog, right? A pit bulldog, right? It's just like you just try to, play around with it. Right? And we got to be careful of that. Because come on, it can happen. It happened to me. It can happen to you, right? And you realize, you know, the devil is right there. Say, yeah, don't let him do that to you, right? And so someone attacks you, and you know that the first response is what? I'm going to attack you right back. You said something to me to hurt me, I'm going to hurt you right back. You know, take for instance, you know, there's this Chicago Cubs outfielder. His name is Andre Dawson, and he had to pay a $1,000 fine for disputing a strike called by this umpire. His name is Joe West. And so he had to pay this $1,000 fine, right? And on the memo line of his check, you know what Dawson wrote? Donation for the blind. He didn't have to do that, right? But I'm going to get him back, right? Yeah. He was blind. He couldn't see, you know? So, and we realize, right? Even little things like that. I mean, it's like,
we're trying to look like we're the better person. So I go write them on the memo. I'm gonna pay them, but I'm gonna write a donation for the blind because this umpire is blind. Come on, we do these things and we know, you know, it can escalate. You know what I'm saying? We cannot even allow ourselves to do something like that because all it takes is one time and suddenly, okay, it's funny. Okay, it's okay to do that. And next thing, we're doing it all the time. And you know, this is something that will affect our heart. Knowing that Christ lives in our heart, we cannot allow these things to continue on. Do you remember what Jesus told Peter when a Roman soldier tried to seize him? And you know what Peter did? What did Peter do? Yeah, got a sword and cut off his ear, right? I want you to look at Matthew 26, 52 to 54. Look what Jesus says here. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then will the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? And that's why Jesus said, put your sword back, because if God wanted to, he could call 12 legions of angels and boom, this army of soldiers will become nothing. They'll become toast. But we realize when we choose to do things our way, you know what's going to happen? It says, how then would the scriptures be fulfilled? If you're going to choose it your way, it's not God's way. Because when you choose God's way, blessings will come. You choose God's way, God will take care of it. His way, not your way. That's why you got to be willing to say, Lord, I'm handing it over to you. Because, Lord, I'm not going to do it like the world. I'm not going to do it like that person who hurt me so bad. I'm handing it over to you. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, when you do this, a healing comes so powerfully within your heart. It's so powerful because I experienced this. I'm going to be honest. As a new Christian 20-some years ago, I didn't want to forgive the people who had hurt me. I remember my brother would counsel me, my pastor would counsel me, and he says, you got to let go, Ben. I said, give me some time. Not right now. I can't. It hurts too much. But you know what? The misery doesn't go away. It only gets worse. And not until I actually prayed with a couple pastors, and I said, Lord, I'm letting go. Wow, you just feel like you're freed. Like these prison bars just exploded. You know, it's just like they're gone. You've been set free. And this weight is taken off of you. Amen? That's what you got to do. You got to ask God for help. Don't ever say it's too hard. Well, it's too hard for everyone. But God, when he helps you, he makes it easier and easier and easier. Because he knows your heart belongs to him. He's going to increase that love in your heart. His love in your heart. And suddenly you're going to go, yeah, I want to forget. Lord, I'm letting it go. You got to put that sword back into its place. I'm not going to do it like the world. I'm going to do it like Jesus. You know, Abraham Lincoln, you know, when he was an attorney, he was approached by a man who stubbornly insisted on bringing a lawsuit for $2.50 against another man who was very poor and impoverished. And Lincoln, being a very compassionate Christian, he tried to discourage him, said, why are you doing that? Don't do that. This man doesn't really have much, you know, to give. He can't afford this. But this man, he was just bent on revenge. So when he saw that this man would not back down, Lincoln agreed to take the case and asked for a legal fee of $10, of which the plaintiff paid. Okay? And Lincoln, you know what he did? He gave half of that money to the man being sued. So, you know, this man gladly took the $5 and willingly confessed to the debt, and he paid the $2.50. But even more amazing than Lincoln's ingenious settlement was the fact that this angry plaintiff was satisfied with it. Imagine, he paid $10. I mean, just $250, right? But he had to pay $10, and Lincoln gave, you know, half of that to the man, and the man paid $250 from the $5 that Lincoln gave him. This makes sense to you? It doesn't, does it? But I want you to understand, when you're in spite of someone, you tend not to think straight. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes I gotta be the one who's right. Right? And sometimes, you know, when I have an argument with my beautiful wife, Jonna Lee, I think I gotta be the one that's right, right? And then suddenly I realize I get more deeper into the pit, right? when I become stubborn like that. Or when Jonna Lee cannot become stubborn, right? But when I become stubborn, right, I dig myself into a bigger hole. And I realize sometimes I make decisions that are illogical. Right? We just want to get back. I want to just be right. And we start to say things and do things that, guess what? We usually will regret it. Come on. Especially if those of us who are married, you know what I'm talking about, right? So what we got to do? We just got to zip the lip. You got to say, Lord, help me not to say any more than I should. Right? Because you don't want to look like the victim. You don't want to look like the weaker one or the loser. So you try to take matters into your own hands so that you look like you have risen to the top above this person and everyone else. That's what it's all about. That's what revenge is all about. You want to look good. You don't want to look like the one that's down here. You want to look like the one that's way up here. And is it worth it? Is it? Is it worth destroying a loving relationship that you may have? Because the devil won't be right there to help you. And we know, you know, the devil, he's really good at that, isn't he? And you know, I got to tell you about this man. His name is John Mutter. And he stepped outside his Chicago home on his birthday recently. And guess what he found? 2 tons of cow manure that was piled 8 feet high on his front lawn. Oh, unreal, yeah? You know who gave him this wonderful present? It was compliments of his brother in California. And guess what? It was the latest in this outlandish gift-giving war that erupted between the two of them when John sent his sibling one of those insulting birthday cards. Because you can see him, you know, you go to Walmart, there's this card that comes in, oh, you old fart or whatever, right? And it just started with that. And guess what? The same year, he got 50 insulting birthday cards back. I mean, you think it's funny, right? You think, oh, yeah, I'm just being funny, but is it really funny? And last year, John received a pet rock that tipped the scale at 4,000 pounds. Well, they must have a lot of money to waste, you know? They got him a 4,000-pound rock. He said, it's a pet rock for you, and put him right in front of his doorstep, okay? You know what how he responded? He responded with 10 tons of pebbles. And there was a note telling his brother, oh, my pet rock had babies. And this is for you. Come on now. And over the years, right, the gifts between the two have included a full-grown elephant and 2 busloads of choir boys. I don't try to figure that out. I don't know. But sometimes we got to realize enough is enough. Because you know, the devil said, yeah, it's funny. No worry. You know, your brother going to have a great laugh. No, you think he's laughing with the manure on his front yard? Come on now. Or these pebbles, you know, all over his front yard. Come on. Enough is enough. And the Holy Spirit may be telling you this. Enough. You're going to start hurting your loved one. Enough. And we got to say, yes, Lord. Enough. Help me to stop. Because if we continue to let it go, sooner than you know it, that relationship is bye-bye. And I counsel people where, you know, I mean, sisters, brother, you name it, haven't talked to each other for like 20, 30 years. And I said, it's about time you let go. It's about time you restore that relationship. And instead of giving it over to God to avenge you, you may seek revenge. As a Christian, yes, you may seek revenge if you let your mind continue to play on with these thoughts. And usually your intention is to outdo that person for what he's done to you. But sometimes, yeah, you're going to end up hurting that person more than you really wanted to. Now, you may say, you know, but Pastor Ben, I would never do that. You know, I would never hurt, you know, a loved one or anyone for that matter. But think about the time that someone wronged you in some way. Did you think some evil thought or wishes towards that person? For example, did you think in your mind how this person can get seriously injured? Oh, I heard the Pali had boulders coming down from the mountain. I won't tell that person, go. you may kind of think of it maybe initially as a joke, but you let these evil thoughts just continue on. Or you may wish, I wish this person would contract some kind of a disease or get really sick or something. Or maybe I just wish he can lose his job so he can suffer a little bit. Or maybe his business will fail. It could be one thing after the other. Stop it! Because if you let it play in your mind, the devil, he's going to intensify it. And sometimes I'm going to tell you, you know, for any of us, we can let these thoughts keep running, but it's dangerous. You think, oh, it's just a thought. It can't hurt anyone. Oh, eventually it will. You know it's playing your mind. You say, in Jesus' name, stop. I command you, demon spirit that's messing with my mind, I command you to stop in Jesus' name. Don't let it play in your minds anymore. Because these thoughts, right, these are thoughts that we should never be entertaining in our minds. And Peter, he certainly made it clear that this is very unacceptable. I want you to look what it says here in 1 Peter 3:9-10. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with what? A blessing. That is what God has called you to do. Okay, stop right there. God has what? Called you to what? Bless others. It's your calling because you belong to Jesus Christ. It's your calling to bless them when they curse you, when they insult you. Bless them. Dig deep way into your heart where Jesus is. And say, Jesus, help me to bless this person who's done great wrong against me. And he will help you. And suddenly, you know you're having a power that will come forth that is helping you to love like you never loved before. Amen? So instead, pay them with what? But a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you what? His blessing. So when you bless others, guess what happens to you? He's going to bless you right back because he knew that you did it for him. You chose not to insult this person back. You chose not to get angry at this person. So God says, okay, I'm going to bless my child. I'm going to bless you for what you've done for me. Look what he says in verse 10. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many what? Happy days. Keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from keep telling lies. Right? And we got to control the mouth, right? And we got to realize that our mouth can cause a lot of destruction if we don't have control over it. We got to let God be the one to control our tongues as we choose to love. I want you to take a look at the bottom line verses now. So the question is, what do we do then when we get this attitude? Because sometimes we can, where we can say, I'll never forgive you. Never. Well, what do? But we should use Jesus as our example of what he did and what we need to do. I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 22 to 24. Ready? Go. He, Jesus, committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. Okay, I want to stop right there. That means there was no hatred. Okay, we talked about that, right? There's no hatred because he didn't allow these deceitful words to come out of his mouth. Okay, verse 23. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not what? Retaliate. Stop right there. That means no what? Revenge. He didn't retaliate. He could have. He's God. Can you imagine what devastation he could have brought forth upon, you know, these people? God, Jesus didn't do it, right? And it says, when he suffered, he made no what? No threats. That means he had no anger. He didn't express his anger in ways that could hurt other people. Instead, what did he do? This is what we have to do. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Okay, let's stop right there. He entrusted himself to who? To Father God. You got to entrust it to God. You know, no matter how much hurt this person has, you know, brought forth this pain in your life, you say, Lord, I trust in you that you're going to take care of it. I entrust it totally into your hands. And he says, he's the one who judges justly. And we got to get that in our mind that he is the judge. We are not to judge in the way that will, you know, make us look like we're the better one, that we always have to be on top. In verse 24, he himself what? Bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his what? His wounds, you have been healed. Because I'm going to tell you, I talk with people a lot at the park, right? And I know some of them, they tell me, Pastor Ben, if you only knew the pain, the wounds that have been inflicted upon my life. This is what they tell me. Pastor Ben, I've been hurt miserably. I hear that a lot. And sometimes they say, it's been so painful. You know, it's almost like they justify their hatred towards this person that had hurt them. You know, this person who had inflicted them with so much pain in their lives. But you know, the scripture that we just read, it tells us that the wounds that were inflicted upon Jesus, guess what? They were far worse. And remember, he was a spotless lamb. He had no sin. But guess what? He still took the wounds. For who? For you. For me. And it tells us by his very wounds, we are healed. We are healed by these very wounds that were inflicted by people who hurt us. Just think about that. Because here's the thing, you got to realize, Jesus, he suffered and died not only for you, but for who? Everyone, and even the person who sinned against you. Even the person who hurt you badly, so deeply. Jesus died for that person too. And if you're unwilling to forgive this person, guess what? Oh man, Jesus is probably saying, but child, I died for him or her too. You understand what I'm trying to say here, brothers and sisters? Because sometimes, you know, I'm human as you are. And people hurt me, sometimes I'm like, why me? You know, and you realize God says, you know what? I love this person too, you know, Ben. Show him my love. Show him that I died for him too. Because look what that scripture says in Romans 5:8. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So even before we came to know Jesus, even before we repented, you know what? Christ died for you. He died for me, and he died for that person who done you wrong. And it's up to us, because a lot of times I hear it when a Christian is willing to show the love of Christ to this person who's done such a great wrong towards them, this other person starts to realize, you know, what evil he had done, and oftentimes they turn from the evil ways and they make things right with this person. It's up to you. You got to show the love of Christ so this person will also experience the love of Jesus. Because if you don't, this person may never, you know, understand what the love of Christ is all about. He must experience it from you. It's when you choose to forgive. Amen? I know this is a heavy topic, right? And believe me, last night I stayed out, I think, to like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was just kind of like on my computer, said, Lord, I got to finish this up. And the Lord gave me this verse. And I know John Lee came up to me, and I was like kind of zoning out like this. And then John Lee, you okay, Ben? Where am I? and I, but you know, I knew the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And we need to hear this, because you know what? If we don't allow forgiveness to take place in our lives, the devil is going to have his way. So what I want you to do right now, can you just make a cup with your hands? I know I asked you to do this before, but this time, just make a cup like this with your hands. Okay, just think right now. I know for some of you, this may be a very emotional experience, but just think about all the hurts, all the pain, you know, your loved ones, whoever it may be, your classmates, your friends, you know, whatever wounds, whatever you know that someone had done to hurt you so badly. Will you just allow these wounds to just fall right into your hands right now? All the pain, all the hurt. Could be your parents, it could be your spouse, it could be your siblings, whoever it may be, whatever wounds. Place it in your hands. Let's just allow God to just bring it to memory and let it fall. Let all the wounds just fall right into your hands right now. Yes, Lord. Just let them continue to fall. Yes, Lord. Let the wounds continue to fall right into your hands. Just let them keep falling. Just kind of think about them. Just for a brief moment, just let them fall right into your hands. Yes, Lord. Oh. Okay, now can you just lift your hands up to the heavens? Just right here. Just lift them up to the skies. Can we just say this together? Lord, it's yours. Just give it to him right now. Just give it to him. Just say, Lord, it's all yours. Forgive me, Lord. I've been holding on to bitterness, unforgiveness. Lord, it's all yours. I cast all my burdens upon you because you care for me. Say, Lord, it's all yours. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. Oh, thank you, Lord. We've been set free. We've been set free. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for those of us who just prayed this, Father. I pray, Lord, that as we truly experienced your power that has given us great peace, great love, great joy. Father, we're not going to allow this wound to inflict us pain anymore, because the devil's been having his way in our minds and our hearts no more. Father, we've been set free by the blood of Jesus. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I thank you, Lord, that we're not going to hold on to this wound, this pain anymore. Father, we've been set free. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father. Oh, Father, will you just do this right now, Father? Allow your angels right now, come in great multitudes, just to minister to my brothers and sisters, Lord, who just experienced this freedom, Father. Will you just let your angels just come and minister to us right now? Oh, praise you, Lord. Oh, praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that we're going to walk in victory right now. Oh, Father, knowing we've been set free, I pray, Lord, there be no more pain, no more suffering within our hearts, within our souls anymore. There will be great love, great peace, and great joy that comes from you. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all my brothers and sisters say, amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's all stand. Let's give God glory. You've been set free. Praise God.